Stefan Christoph reporting from Beirut, Lebanon, for CKUT Radio Montreal. Throughout the last 2 months, I have been traveling throughout Jordan and Lebanon to the many Palestinian refugee camps, which are home to hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees displaced in the wars of 1948 and 1967. Palestinian refugees make up the majority of the Palestinian population. Most of the refugees living throughout the Arab world in the refugee camps of Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. Palestinian refugees in Lebanon who are one of the greatest victims of the Lebanese civil war, still live in many ways in a low-intensity war waged against them on a daily basis by the policies and procedures of the Lebanese government against the refugees. For instance, Palestinian refugees do not have the right to work in over 70 professions in Lebanon. They also do not have the right to inherent property. The situation of the Palestinian refugees is worsening by the day, and the situation of in the camps is deteriorating. Despite this, many groups and organizations are organizing to support the refugees. One of those groups is Nejdi, and I'm here with Raida Hotoum, who works with Nejdi, which is a Palestinian women's organization, which works in many of the Palestinian refugee camps throughout Lebanon. So my first question for Raida is, maybe can you briefly explain what Nejdi is, when it was founded, and what work it does in the Palestinian refugee camp?
Well, Nejdi is a women organization. It's a progressive women organization that was established in the 1978, right after the massacre of Tal el-Zata during the civil war in Lebanon. And the aim is to empower women, the most disadvantaged element of the Palestinian refugee community, who in return will have a role to play in their own community. And Nejdi runs several programs, vocational training, preschool education.
Maybe can you speak about Nejdi and its work? You said it's making an effort to empower women. Can you speak about how specifically Palestinian women are affected because of the terrible economic and political situation in the refugee camps?
The Palestinian women in Lebanon took a part on the struggle before, and they were faced with the challenge of also continuing the struggle after they lost their husbands or members of their families. So not only the armed struggle, they had also to carry out the social one, and to try to hold up the community, try to bring answers to all the community's needs, especially after the departure of the PLO from Beirut in the 82, where most of those who were forced to leave were men. And then the community were left with no political security and no social security, so they had to play the role a stronger role in the society, trying to provide immediate income to their families, and in the same time to maintain all the work of the social establishment.
You mentioned the Tal el-Zatar massacre, and also, of course, there's the Sabra and Shatila massacre of 1982. These massacres took place at the Palestinian refugee camps, and your organization works directly with many of the victims of these massacres. So maybe can you speak about this history, you know, this history of tragedy, really, that plagues many Palestinian refugees living here in Lebanon, and how this history relates to today's situation where, you know, many of these communities are still living in terrible economic and political conditions.
First of all, I have to mention something that is very important. As Allah, the existence of the Palestinian refugees in Lebanon has affected the Lebanese communities, as my father keeps telling me. They were inspired by the how strong the Palestinians were, how they shared one collective memory, and how they paid a lot of concern to the art and to the culture. So they had this very positive impact on the Lebanese society. But they were faced with a lot of massacred during the civil war, and or not only from the Lebanese militias, but also from the Israeli invasion to Lebanon. This suffering did not end by the end of the civil war in the 1990s, but they have witnessed different kinds of war, which is not the military or the armed one. And now they face the economic war, because actually imposing poverty, like what the Lebanese government is doing by all the racist laws imposed on the refugees here, like prohibiting them from practicing their right to work, such a thing that will lead to poverty and more marginalization, is equal to killing or massacre or whatsoever. So it's obvious that they will pay price also for peace in Lebanon, because now not only they are faced by racist laws, but also with the hatred campaign run by MPs and Lebanese politicians aiming at more isolation for the Palestinian community in Lebanon, of course, to prevent any integration for them within the Lebanese societies, because they don't want, again, any they don't want this influence of the Palestinians to affect the Lebanese again.
Now, I mean, we're seeing political events unfold in the Palestinian territories. Recently, we saw the signing of the Geneva Accord, which was a negotiation between Palestinian and Israeli politicians. One of the key points of the Geneva Accord was that the Palestinian side of the negotiating table was asked to sign away the right of return for Palestinian refugees. This, of course, affects every single one of the hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees here in Lebanon. So maybe you give your perspective on the ongoing Palestinian struggle in Gaza and the West Bank, and how it's directly related to the situation of the Palestinian refugees scattered throughout the Arab world in refugee camps from Lebanon, Syria, to Jordan.
Start with, we are all, clear. I mean, it's clear to all of us how the Second Intifada did not only affected the Palestinians in West Bank and Gaza and in the Palestinian refugees in the Arab world, but also it has inspired the Arab streets and the European streets and a lot of people all around the world. There is a lot of ways that this intifada is affecting the people. The children here in this refugee camp have really a lot of problems, because they keep seeing the images of the children in West Bank and Gaza getting killed by the Israeli occupation army. And this is affecting our programs as NGOs inside the refugee camp. And it needs a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of knowledge to see how we can overcome such a thing, to overcome such a damage in the children's daily life. And all the refugees disagree with any kind of peace or what is so-called initiative that allows the right to return. And actually, one of my colleagues, she's a refugee in one of the camps, she told me, just look at the figures who have signed this Geneva Accord. It's Yasser Abdrabu and Ozi Benin, who have been working together for a long time since the Oslo Agreement, trying to prepare for the filling out of the right of return. And actually, Belin, he held Shimon Peres for a long time, kidnapping Mordechai in the 80s, and then preparing and covering up the massacre of Qana that the Israeli committed in Lebanon. And Yasser Abdrabu and the others, they are all figures of the PA, and the people don't have a lot of trust for those politicians they believe as refugees. That all the ruling class, whether they were ex-members of the Knesset or the PA or current members of ruling class, and it's fine, they have different interests from what the ordinary people have whether are refugees or those who support the Palestinian cause and the refugees' right to return. So for them, any kind of peace is not real peace if it will sell out next week.
I have one last question for you, which is that, you know, you mentioned that since the beginning of the last Intifada, we've seen an inspiration taken from the streets of West Bank, the streets of Gaza, the demonstrations, the Palestinian resistance spread throughout the world. You know, in Montreal, we've seen many demonstrations for the Palestinian cause. Within this solidarity movement for the Palestinians, how do you see it as relating directly to the situation of the Palestinian refugees in Lebanon or Jordan and Syria? Why do you see also a focus on the situation in the refugee camps in which you work, the terrible economic and political situation, as important?
Any international solidarity movement or any other local solidarity movement should not only focus on the title of the struggle. Of course, a lot of work should be done to end the occupation of Israel over West Bank and Gaza as a point of pathway. Because as most of us know, today there is 21 million refugees around the world. Half of them are women and children. And the only way to put an end for the suffering of all those refugees, including the Palestinian refugees, is to put an end to all the armed conflict and also the wars and the occupations that are now taking place, or those are to come, you know. And to all the oppression, because this is the only way to end the suffering. But also, all international solidarity movements should pay attention. They should have good knowledge about the situation of the refugees in Lebanon, especially. I think this will take. I think there might be the coordination between activists abroad and activists in Lebanon and other places, so we can put pressure on the Lebanese government to end such racist laws against the refugees, so we can work on a short term, not only ending the occupation of West Bank and Gaza. And should not trust any peace initiative. We should really believe in our power, the power of the ordinary people. And I have a message for all of you. Wherever you are fighting social and economic oppression in your country, wherever you live, social oppression, which means nationalism, racism, etc., and sexism, of course, and economic oppression, education, etc., you will be doing a lot of help to us, and you will be supporting us a lot, because it's the same struggle, it's the same oppression that takes different faces. Here we have to face all sorts of oppression, you know, occupation, war, not only and racism, etc. So anything you do, don't separate it from supporting the Palestinian cause. Don't separate it, because it's not. So the more you work for local issues, the more you are also supporting the struggle.
We've been speaking with Raida Hatoum, who works with Nejdi, which is a Palestinian women's organization which works throughout the Palestinian refugee camps of Lebanon. There are hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, displaced in the wars of 1948 and 1967. Of course, Palestinian refugees make up the majority of the Palestinian population, most living throughout the Arab world. Given this fact, we've seen the negotiations recently of the Geneva Accord, which puts the question of the right of return of these refugees into the spotlight. It remains to be seen what will happen in the future for Palestinian refugees, but it is very clear that they're fighting and resisting their economic and political poverty on a daily basis. This is Stefan Christoph reporting for Beirut, Lebanon, for CKUT Radio in Montreal.